Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We might just be in France, but this is global. It's football 2019, and this is its brand new face. Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Yo, what is going on? I'm Heath.
And I'm Chelsea.
And this is Football Inside Out, a podcast from Copa 90. We're coming to you every single day from the Copa 90 Clubhouse in Lyon, bringing you all the excitement from the 2019 Women's World Cup in France. And if you're here, you can find us at Bar Super 5, screening all the remaining matches. Only two left. But hit that subscribe button as well to make sure you never miss an episode.
Coming up today, Heath had a chat with presenter Nicole Holliday, who's been on the road with the Lionesses through the entire World Cup journey, this year fronting the Lionesses Daily Show. But first, here are the five things you need to know going into your day.
Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Number one, England's second most capped player, Karen Carney, has announced her retirement from club and international football. The third, fourth place playoff on Saturday will be the 31-year-old's final match.
Would you... That's a lot of pressure to put on yourself to retire for a match that has like implications.
I mean,
would you want to retire after a match like that?
It's a good place to end, I think.
But what if you lose?
Yeah, you might lose, but you so might win. Be a bit positive.
They always say finish on a win.
Yeah, know? I think they're going to win though. Okay. I think they're going to win.
That's fair. What do we have for number two?
Number two, former Chelsea and Bayern Munich winger Arjen Robben has also announced his retirement from football. He won 19 club trophies during his career. So
wow. That's amazing.
Pretty good going, right?
Oh, it's sad to see him go. Jeez, he's so good. He like invented a style of playing where no matter
cut
what...
Cut in on the left foot every time.
You knew where he was going and you still couldn't stop him. That's a rare thing. Number three, Buffon has returned. Buffon has returned to Juventus for one season, has refused the captain's band, and has also refused the number one jersey, or the jersey number one, and will play with 77. One last season, doesn't want the captain's band, doesn't want his old number.
Number seven is my lucky number though, so if I couldn't have that, I'd go for 77.
Would you?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that maybe that's the year he's born? Could be.
Yeah,
no, maybe. He might be older than that.
Really?
No, it must be 77, I guess.
Okay.
He's in his 40s, oh, so it could be.
What a guy.
Yeah, we'll find out after we do a little research after this. Number four, equal playing field, have broken the record of the longest football match ever played, and it happened here in Lyon, which was 68 hours. 807 players played, 60 different countries represented, and the final score was 399 to 369. We actually had some Copa 90 folks playing in that match.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go and do it, but I think I had to go to another game. But it looked amazing, like, to be fair.
Yeah, it started, I think, a day or two before we got to Lyon, and then the people that were on the morning train got out there to participate. And Ethan had said, who's one of our kind of talented photographers and ex-footballer, that by the time he had gotten on the pitch, it was like within 10 minutes, it was him against like kids.
No, really? Yeah. Well, I think after it gets to like 201, 189, you stop counting, don't you? So yeah. Respect to whoever was on the clock, like totting up the goals, because that's something else.
But also like, too bad for the team that lost, because you put all that time and effort in and you
lose by like 50 goals.
Yeah. And finally, number five, the Forest Green Rovers, the world's first vegan football club, will play in the world's first bamboo kits. Have you ever worn bamboo?
I've never worn bamboo,
it's
no.
It's actually really nice. It's heavy, but it's really comfortable. It breathes well and it's eco-friendly.
Yeah, it is eco-friendly, but I don't know about this veganism thing. I'm still not on board, to be honest.
Yeah, but are you cool with sustainability at least? Or do you want the whole planet to burn?
No, of
I mean, because I just kind of want to know where you stand on that before we get into this.
I know, this is an argument I have a lot of the time. I went on a date actually and they were great. Everyone was coming splendid. And then they hit me with, oh, I don't eat meat. And I was like, I'm so sorry. It was lovely to meet you. Do you get it? Lovely to meet you.
Oh, hey. Well done. Well done. Usually I do the dad jokes. But those are the five things you need to know going into your day.
This is Copper 90.
So those five things that you discussed were that there is a certain player, Carney, that's retiring after today.
I know.
And you're confident that they're going to win.
I'm confident, yeah. I've been confident the whole time, though. I still believe it's coming home.
Well, that's not, like, it depends what it is.
The girls are coming home, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Karen Carney, since I ever started playing football, I feel like she's like 50 years of age, but she's not. But she was just so young when she broke into the team. And
You were going to just go like, yeah, she's so old. No. And I was like, oh, wow. She's only
31. Yeah. And that's what like blew my mind. Because I was like, she's got to be older than that. I feel like she's been around forever. But yeah, it's going to be sad because she's one of like the veterans and stuff. But obviously she's made the decision to leave.
Yeah. And real quickly for people who have been listening to this or maybe they're new, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So, well, I'm a musician now, but I am a footballer too. So I grew up. I played for Liverpool for 7 years. I did go to Everton for 1 year, but we won't talk about that. Yeah, leave that to the side. But most of the girls in the team, you know, all the Scousers, Tony Duggan, Alex Greenwood, Nikita Paris, I all played with the girls like at some phase, whether it was like under 14, 16s. And then I left when I was 17 because there was no money. And I was like, okay, I need to make some money. Yeah. And I wrote some songs and I sold them or whatever. And I made money and I was like, this is great. Okay, I'll do this for a bit. Was loving it, blah, 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 blah. Cut a long story short, like 3 seasons ago. Now, the last World Cup, actually, I watched it. I was sat on the couch and I was like, I don't know, miserable because Britney Spears didn't take me song or something. And then everyone in the team and like Pharrell Williams and stuff, they were all players I'd played with. And I was like, oh, mate, I've done the wrong thing here. And then I just hit up a few Sunday league teams. I went on trial at like Tottenham and Fulham and a few places. Got into Tottenham, played there for a season.
Tottenham's a Sunday league team on the men's side too.
They're not actually. They just got promoted to Super League and they're smashing it. So I've got a shout out to them. But yeah, I obviously still make music and I'm still a songwriter. So I can't do it full time. So I've dropped down to like Division 3-ish now for Fulham, enjoying it. And now I'm here talking to you and I've been at this World Cup.
Amazing. So I've asked Monkey the same question, which is if there was money, would you have done it differently?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have been in music. Yeah. And that's the honest to God truth. Like, yeah, because even now I know like my friend's little brother or something, he's like 15, he plays for Liverpool and he's on a wage. I'm like, good God, these kids are like fine. And you know, if you've got money coming in and you're working hard, you don't mind because it's like, but you know, for me from the age of 9 to like literally 17, not a penny to be made from it. So you can't keep telling yourself, oh, maybe next year, maybe next year. Like finally now it started to change and my little sister's 10 and she's just started the team and you know, I'm trying to make it not a forward creative player. I'm like, you're at the back. People need defenders. but yeah, and it's like, it's cool to see that there's like a career now to be had. So yeah, I probably wouldn't have ever sung now. I'd just be making a shit ton of money being a baller. Yeah,
that's fair. I still think there's probably more money in music, generally speaking.
I mean, it's music as well, obviously with songwriting.
Oh, were you planning on being the best player in the world or something?
I mean, you know, you never know. Never know. Look at Steven Gerrard.
Were you tracking on that? Were you one of the better players when you decided to go a different direction?
Yeah, I was like, I back myself still now, you know, physically like, and technically I'm still decent. It's just that like the fitness side of things, obviously I left me peak time, like 22, 23.
Yeah, and the partying and the drinking.
Yeah, the drinking, the rock star lifestyle, you know. I was on yachts.
So long you can burn that candle on both ends.
Yeah, but you know, I was decent. I was good enough to play, and I could have had a career there if I stuck to it. But like I said, I found something else that I love. And as a songwriter, you know, that makes me money till the day I die. So even when I'm up in my wheelchair or whatever and I'm frail, I'll still be making money from my royalties from songs I wrote when I was 21. So anyone listening, go in and remix anything. Yeah, get your grandchildren to remix that.
So you've been obviously traveling for a month, right?
Yeah, I'm very tired.
Yeah. Are you just like me, not sleeping well at this end of the trip?
It's just so hot. Like I wish people listening could like feel how I feel right now because I'm sticky and I'm irritated and I just don't like being hot. So I'm not sleeping well. So I wake up cranky and then I just start drinking really and yeah. try and get through the day.
I survived the, so I think I hit like the 60 day mark today on the road, and I held off because I was in London for a month before on drinking. I was just like, I know how this works, because in Russia last year, as soon as you break that seal of drinking, you realize there's an energy source in that drinking that can get you like through the days and nights, that it's like just like any sort of caffeine where you're just like, well, I'll just break the seal again and just drink. And obviously more dehydrated than I was yesterday from drinking yesterday. And I just keep this going. And I held off for a long time. But since we got here, maybe like 3 days left in Paris, but since we got to Lyon, it's been a daily thing for me of just like, wake up, get through the recordings, enjoy the recording part, and then just be like, wow, I'm kind of hitting a wall here. Yeah. How am I going to solve this problem?
It is like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun's still fire blazing on you. Yeah. And it's just like, get a little gin and tonic down me, and then I'm good for like at least 2 hours. But it's just, I am coming to the end now. Yeah. I'm ready to go home.
I didn't expect, though, and we've talked about the weather a lot, almost daily on this podcast, but I didn't expect the feels like to always be so much warmer than the actual temperature. Like I thought, okay, Europe has mild summers. It'll be really, really nice. And okay, if it gets to 30, it'll be a hot day, but the feels like will be 30. But every time you look on these things, it's like the feels like it's like 38. And you're like, that is ridiculous. What, like what, how is that? Where is the wind?
I know. Yeah. Give me wind, anyone. Jesus, I'm blow me some wind down here. But it's like nowhere has aircon either. Like it's not built for, I guess, you know, it's normal, but oh no. Can we stop talking about it? It's making me hotter.
Yeah. what's been your, I guess, you know, England now with a chance to win third place in this tournament, which many Americans would call a useless match, but like, I'm just kidding. No, it's an incredible thing. Obviously they've achieved that. Yeah. But what has been your greatest, I guess, moment? You've traveled all over the country. You've witnessed things. You've met people.
For that dig, my favorite thing and highlight was beating you on FIFA last night. 4-1, people. Yeah, take that. No.
I don't see... Do we have any sort of video proof of that? No, this is an audio podcast. There's no...
Well, yeah, I've got no proof, but everyone knows, okay? But another highlight, you know, to be honest, mate, is like just being here, like from the beginning. And the first game I went was the opening match in France versus South Korea. And I've never seen anything like that before. You know, we don't go to that. I don't go to games in the US where, like, you know, girls are saying, oh, we get 90,000 people in a stadium. And on that first game, there was 46,000 people all there for the girls. And I just had goosebumps. And I was like, wow, like, look at the game now. And it was sick. Like, that, obviously, the England wins and stuff like that have been amazing too. And like the country, when I went back for one day, and it just feels like everyone's just like wants to be mates with everyone and everyone's backing them. But yeah, apart from that, the best thing's just been seeing the game just absolutely blow up and break records. And yeah, all of that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, the atmosphere at the England-US game was absolutely incredible. Atmosphere of the France-US game, absolutely incredible. Those are two of the three games that I've made it to. But it's an actual like electric atmosphere in the stadiums where it's loud. The crowd feels these momentum changes and shifts, and it's dramatic and it's tense, and it's like all the things that you would want that I think for a lot of people maybe didn't expect.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really validating experience for anybody to want to support the sport even more, is just knowing that like it had all the same elements of any sort of knockout match in any big tournament in the world, which I think some people are sort of like predisposition of like trying to write it off. And it's been like really, really fun.
Yeah. I think, you know, for anyone who like comments on the game still or is a bit like, you know, wishy-washy on it, I think they need to go to a game like what we just experienced. Like you said, the USA France game was, oh, it was just like end to end. Like I was looking at the two crowds like at either side and they were just going back and forth. But it's not like, obviously I go to a lot of the men's games. So I'm like, I go to Liverpool whenever I can. And there's just obviously sometimes it's a bit meaner or whatever, or people are like not very nice to one another there. But in this vibe, it still had the same bite about it. It still had the same feeling, passion and all that, but it just felt nicer. I don't know. Sometimes I go to games and I do want to not really be there. Like some of the people, I'm just like, just angry for no reason, man. Just support your team and get on with it. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what it had. Like every single game I've been to, it's just like people are so joyous, but still like fully backing your team. Do you know what I mean? It's been boss.
Yeah, but it's hard to find that limit, right? Is that as a paying fan or a supporter, you have a certain expectation of being entertained and those types of things, that it's always a hard balance between like coming to like let some anger out in the stadium and then like crossing the lines of every stadium. But it's been a pretty positive atmosphere. I haven't seen, well, actually yesterday was the first time that I saw any sort of potential violence. And that was because I was sitting on,
From me when I beat you on FIFA.
No. Do you remember when you I was heading into the bathroom at the clubhouse and you came up behind me and scared the living shit out of me? That was because I was super, super tense because I was sitting outside and there's like the bike racks outside of the clubhouse, which is, you know, it's like a bar scene. So people are coming and going. I was sitting on a bike just chatting to a friend and my foot was on the bike next to me. Neither of the bikes were mine. And this like big fat Englishman comes up to me and goes, "Is that your bike?" And I was like, "No." He goes, "Was that your bike?" And I'm like, "No." And he goes, "Then fuck off."
Oh, wow.
And I was like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't know." And he goes, and then like, I thought he was joking when he screamed at me like that. And then my friend, like already, she started like backing up and I was like moving to the other side and I went to grab my bag and then he started like stepping towards me. So I'm reaching into my bag basically to grab my keys because if he does something, I'm going to stab him in the throat. This is like literally like fight or flight mode that I'm in right now. And I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Like I was just sitting, like I'm sitting on your bicycle." Like,
Jesus.
And it was like a fold up city bike. It wasn't like, I don't know. I don't think it's the Rolls Royce of bicycles that like he was like valeted it in front of a place or something like that. And then I was like, "I'm sorry." And he goes, "No, you need to be more than sorry." And like stepped towards me. And I was like, "Wow.
Dude, he needs to relax. He needs a gin and tonic."
It was just, well, I think he had a lot of gin and tonics is the thing. He just left our bar.
No way.
So he must have known somebody in there. And he was like on one because he was just like ready to literally wanted to fight me.
Wow.
And I was like, "I was just sitting on the bike next to yours with my foot on like the bar." It's like one of those city bikes that has just a single bar that like folds up. And yeah. Yeah,
that's uncalled
for. It's like the first time. And then you then like 10 minutes later, just by chance, you like came up behind me.
I was like, "Hey." Yeah.
And I was literally in a panic. And I don't like, I'm normally not in like a state of like, that fight or flight mode where you're like hyper aware. Like you walking past me in a bar of 100 people shouldn't scare me, but I was like, adrenaline
wait till
was pumping.
Tonight, that, I'm going to jump on. Where's my bike?
I was literally wondering, like, I want to track down who he is because he must have known somebody at that bar.
Let's
he was an Englishman,
there. Let's see if he's there
like
tonight.
Local with like a bike.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely didn't see him.
I should have followed him somewhere and like slashed his tires.
Yeah, let's see if the bike's there again.
Yeah.
Okay.
I might go buy a lock and like double lock it or like change out his lock with the same lock and watch him like fluster over it for like a few hours. But like, he scared me, but I didn't think violence would come in the form of me sitting on someone's bike. I thought maybe it'd be like clashing fans.
Yeah. Okay. So at least it wasn't that.
Some American making some sort of like absurd comment, like to a Brit or something for no reason, you know, and then watching someone get popped.
Really like, "Oh, congratulations. You made third place."
Yeah. You should be so really proud. You did your best. It was like when, what game was that in? Was it the England? No, it wasn't the England game. It was the France game when one of the US players had walked up to another player and you could read her lips. It's like a viral meme. And she was just like, "You did your best," and like shook her hand. And you don't know whether they knew each other, if there was somebody saying like, you did your best. But like usually in that context, that's like a dig on somebody, you know?
You don't want
and
to
she
hear
said
that
and shook her hand, said like, "You did your best." Or like, "You tried your best." Basically like, you're not good enough.
Yeah, it's so patronizing. Yeah. Like, you don't want to hear anyone say that.
I don't remember who. I think it was Julie Ertz that did it to a French player.
Okay.
Because that game got a little bit feisty towards the end and all that. So like, for one, I think that's amazing that they're doing that to each other. But two, I thought it'd be a comment like that would start a fight in a stadium somewhere, like especially when the knockout rounds. Yeah. But it wasn't. It was just me and some random guy in an interaction in the street.
Okay.
We have a feature to throw to now. So I had a chance to speak with Nicole Holiday, who had spent, I think she had said she was on the road for like 30 something days following the Lionesses around everywhere and just sort of what the vibe was in the camp, hanging out with the players and just like all the cool things about it. And here it is.
Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I know you've been on the road for quite a bit and it sounds like you just got home. Is that correct?
Yeah, I got home. I don't even know what day it is anymore. I got home on Wednesday night. Yeah. So yesterday was my first day back home in London and it was quite weird. It was really weird.
How long were you on the road for then? How many days do you know?
I think it was about maybe 31. It was about 4.5 weeks. Yeah.
What was it like being with the team that long? I mean, what was the mood around the team from the beginning and as they started to progress in the tournament?
Oh, it was just, you know what? It was just amazing. It's one of those things as well that when you're there and you're doing it, you know that you're part of something special and that, you know, you're having a great time. But it's like once you come out of that bubble and, like, you know, you're back here, that you can really appreciate what it was like. And I don't know. Yeah, it's a bit, all a bit weird right now. But it was just amazing. Like, they are such a great bunch. Phil Neville is brilliant. All the staff, they're just so great. And you know what? Their mood, the atmosphere, it never changed the whole time. It didn't change. Like, from the get-go, they were so positive, fun, really confident, and that kind of carried on throughout. I think they really thought that this could be the year that we could do it, we'd get the final, and that we could win. So I didn't see the girls after the semi-final, but obviously we spoke to Phil Neville. I was really emotional, you know, at the game when the whistle blew at the end. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to cry. And we've only been with this team for a month. Like, we're with all their friends and family. And I just, yeah, you get really invested in it, really invested.
So then if you were somebody that was trying to get the average fan supporting the Lionesses, obviously they've broken a bunch of records and not attendance records, but viewership records and things like that. I mean, what would be sort of, what about your experience made it so, like, you know, like you said, you wanted to cry. What about it made it so kind of intense for you by the end?
It's like, do you know what? It's a mixture of things. I think the belief, like their confidence and belief, you really brought into that. You're really brought into that. So I'd convinced myself as well. I was like, we're going to do it. They're going to win. And they're brilliant. They're very talented. This is such a strong, strong England side. They've just got some incredible players on the team. And I think you get to know them on a personal level. You know, we filmed with them every single day. We followed them around France. You get to know the girls really well as individuals, as well as a team. I feel like I became friends with them. And you know, we hung out with their friends and family a lot at the games. So you're part of that. You're sitting in with them at each game. So you've got that emotional connection. So it's like, I don't know, it was constantly thinking with head and heart.
And who would you say is the funniest from that squad? Who had the best sense of humor or kept the team feeling like?
You know, that's so tough because there's like a lot of big characters in there. We'd always, like, when we'd, on match days, we'd film at the Lionesses fan hubs, so different bars around the different locations in France. And we'd often get fans coming up to us and saying, you know, oh, we watch the show, blah, blah, blah. And they'd always ask this. They'd say, oh, who's been your favourite or who's been the best one to interview? I was just like, even, do you know what? Even Phil asked me that on the last day. And I was like, I don't know. Jill Scott is amazing. She's so funny. She's also such a good talker. She's just, yeah, she's awesome. Leah Williamson and Kira Walsh together, they're really funny. That's the thing. On the show, we try to get the girls on together that were roommates or that worked together. You know, they really knew each other and they had like a great relationship. And then they were just hilarious when they were all together. But Jill is, I think most of the team would probably say that Jill is the clown of the group. Yeah, she's awesome.
And then how was it? Did you have much interaction with Phil?
Yeah, so he, it was quite nice actually. He came on the first show with Steph, Captain Steph Horton, and then he ended the series. He came on the last show, which was really emotional. But as soon as, it was lovely actually, because obviously, you know, he's coming on the show the morning after we've just lost in the semi-final. The tone of it, I'm kind of thinking, oh God, I need to be, I don't know. I don't know how he's going to be. He's obviously going to be gutted. I kind of need to approach this in a really sensitive way. And he started walking over and I thought, okay, right, what am I going to say? Do I say, you know, like, sorry, are you okay? Straight away, he said to me and the team working on the show, he was like, no, we're not doing sad faces. We're not doing that. We're happy. We're proud. Come on. Like, this is, you know, like, he was just, I don't know. He really set the tone of it, which I thought was lovely of him. And he just didn't want it to be like, oh, poor us. He wanted it to be a really proud moment. because do you know what? I think it's a lot bigger than the game itself, isn't it? Like what this team have done. And also generally all the teams out of the World Cup, the coverage, like you were saying, the record-breaking figures, the coverage, the amount everyone's talking about it. Like, I've never seen so many people talking on my newsfeed on social media, male and female, about the World Cup, about this England team. Like, it's just all my family were constantly watching all the games, and we've got a WhatsApp group conversation, and they were all talking about it all the time. And I just think, obviously, the aim was to get to the final, to win that trophy. But, I mean, they've got to be so proud of everything else that they've achieved whilst being out there. I mean, it's huge, right? What they've done for the women's game, it's massive.
And do you think that they'll look back at this as a success, or do you think there will be a feeling of, like, not failure, but that they didn't reach as far as they wanted to?
Oh, I think you can only look back at it as a success. Probably right now, everything's still very raw, isn't it? It's only just happened. It's probably very hard to look back and, I don't know, be anything but, I guess, a bit disappointed, because they really wanted to get to the end. And I think they really were sure that it was going to happen. But I think when they come away from it and they look back, God, you've got to be proud of what's been achieved. I mean, hopefully we can get that bronze tomorrow. I'll be cheering them on from home, wearing my shirt. But yeah, if they get the bronze, I think, you know, that's really positive. Come on, a bronze at a World Cup. And the USA, the USA are the USA. I mean, it's a shame that that game wasn't the final, because what a game it was as well. Yeah. And England really held their own. That USA are the number one. They are brilliant. Everyone knows that. And this team, they did so well. They really matched them in that game.
Right. And for you, do you think this is a generational talented group, or do you think this is just the beginning for kind of, not the beginning because they've been doing it for a decent amount of time, but like, do you think this is the beginning of a long future of top level football?
Yeah, for sure. I think this is absolutely just the beginning. I mean, like you said, you know, we've got amazing players on the team that have been playing for years and years and years in the game, but I do think because the amount of investment now, it's just completely different, isn't it, from years ago? I mean, most of the players had to work other jobs whilst training for a very long time, but it's changing so much now. I think the media attention, the money, the funding that's going into it now, it's going to be a very interesting few years for sure. And it'll be interesting to see the new talent that comes through the ranks.
It's amazing. And then I guess my last question would be, if you were standing in front of people who are sort of trying to get you to explain to them why, you know, for what reason they should support the game or come out to the next Lionesses match or something like that, what would it be from your experience that you would tell them?
Because it's just brilliant. The atmosphere out there during the whole month in France was just incredible. I think the talent now out there on the pitch, the standard is so, so high. It's just a joy to be a part of. And I don't know, to be part of something that is growing, that you can see is growing and getting bigger. And I think, I don't know, there's so much talk about, you know, people are constantly comparing men's football to the women's game. And it shouldn't really be compared, because it is different, but it's just fantastic. Like, go to a game. That's the thing, go to a game. Go to, I think, the opening weekend in the WSL is a Manchester United Man City game. And, you know, like, go to that, the level it will be at, the standard, it's just incredible now. And they're amazing. These players are amazing. Like, how hard people have had to fight to get to this point as well. It's brilliant. I love it. Do it.
This is Copper 90.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information, information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It was really interesting to hear just sort of, she just said it was such a fun team. They had so many like vibrant, cool personalities, and that like she left a bigger fan, you know,
yeah,
having spent that. Cause I asked her there at the end, what was it like? Well, what would you tell somebody who's like looking for an entry point after spending this much time and seeing sort of the sport? And she just, you know, talked about that. It was like amazing. It was just an amazing experience to be with him. And I don't know. I think obviously anytime that you're embedded with any team, you're going to have a different perspective than other people, but she just seemed like this is just the very beginning. So not the perspective that is kind of the false narrative of like things will never be the same, but yeah, more of like progress is happening and it's amazing to see.
No, it's so nice to say that the team were all like nice and stuff, because, you know, you don't really want to go and they say don't meet your idols or whatever, right? So if she got there and yeah, she found out they were all awful people, then that would not have been fun. But I actually know the producer who she's been on the road with, and he told me, because I've been watching the Lionesses Daily and they have this big Land Rover Jeep or whatever it is with like the,
are you throwing sponsored segments into our sponsorless, I thought it was just a fake car, right?
And okay, and they were like, no, it's not.
Car?
Yeah, like I thought it was like a cardboard cutout or something. And it's real. And they get in the car every day and they've been driving in that car to every single place. And like the guy was like, we've drove like 11 hours today to get here. And I was like, no way. The car's not like cardboard.
But is the steering wheel on the other side?
Oh, I didn't get that far out. It blew my mind. It wasn't actually a real car.
I would find it bizarre, the idea of driving in France with an English car on the other side.
I don't drive. I don't drive. That's a must.
But would any of you guys drive? It would be weird, right? Like just the idea of turning from another side.
Yeah,
would be odd.
Just behind the wheel for me would be very odd as well. I hate it. The thought of me driving a car actually scares the living daylight out of me. I don't know. And it's that you have to trust other people as well. I've got trust issues massively. It's all coming out.
Yeah.
But literally, you've got to trust other drivers to be good. I'm like,
There's laws and guidelines that we all have
to
follow.
Yeah, but do people really stick to them?
Like in France, they don't. Like in France, it's optional. Like this is a one-way street unless you can get there quick enough before another car comes down in. Or like,
yeah, unless you're wearing sunglasses and you can't see the sign. Then,
yeah, all scooters must stay on the street unless there's a better route on a sidewalk is like how it works here. It's like literally it's like Grand Theft Auto.
It's like wacky races. Like we're in Paris, you know, you know what I'm talking about.
You're spinning your finger.
Yeah,
in
you know the
so
big thing where you just go round the roundabout, the big roundabout. Anyway,
what roundabout?
Arc de Triomphe.
Yeah, that.
Oh yeah, jeez, you're cultured, huh? The big roundabout.
I said the six.
You know the big roundabout. Yeah,
that.
With that like pillar thing in the middle of it.
Yeah, that like weird like. Looks
somebody
like the Romans built it, but obviously never because we're in Paris. But yeah, that made. Oof, I was sweating off the back of that, my taxi guy. There's no lanes, so he just like closes his eyes and guesses, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's guessing. I think you're very much underestimating this, the ability to people of people to drive under certain like environments. You're making it sound like this treacherous thing.
It is.
Where it's like we're all on like these fighter jets going too fast, and like we have to just hope that everyone makes the right decision.
Yeah, but
just
that
follow
is
the
true.
Car in front of you.
That is true. Like my friend, like she drove me the other day. We went to the cinema, and she was I was like trying to get tips now because I've passed me 30 and stuff, and I'm gonna just take a test in like a few weeks when I'm back just to do it. I'm gonna do a crash course, hopefully not crash.
What's the 30?
What?
What's me 30? You said me 30. Pass me 30.
Pass me my theory.
Oh, theory. I've been listening really, really hard to understand your accent. And to be fair, I've made it this long without like misunderstanding you, because you're literally almost speaking another language right now.
What's me theory? Anyway, wow, that had me. So
I've passed me. So translation, I've passed my theory.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. So I'm going to take the test. Whoa, wait, then I'm cracking up. Okay, so I was in the car with my friend and I was like, okay, so what does that sign mean then? And she goes, whilst driving through it, you're not really supposed to go this way. There's no cars allowed. So I was like, well, why are you? And she's like, well, everyone does it. And I'm like, see, that's the problem. You've just added another few weeks on now. You've scared me a bit more. Driver, yep. I don't know. I just don't trust everyone on the road.
I could see you being more of like a motorcycle person.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah. That would be cool. But again, I'm sure I'd find something scary about that.
No, yeah, you should find something scary about riding motorcycles. Cars, I think you're in better shape.
I mean,
there are some terrible drivers out there, but
I might just be like your guy, get a push bike.
Do you like flying?
Yeah, I love flying.
Okay, that's just weird.
Yeah, I love flying. I'm like, get me on a jet any day.
You feel in control sitting in a plane being flown by two people who you can't see in the air, defying the laws of gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a car, you're like, whoa, this is where I draw the
big
line.
Big roundabout in Paris. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Actually, I think cars are more dangerous by like people or flights than...
Well, yeah, you can't crash into people. Well, you can in the sky, but you know, there's not that many planes up there.
Yeah, we should not do this subject on the podcast. That's not a fun one. You know, just like let's not go down
I've got to get on a plane.
Health and safety records of cars versus planes. Yeah, so England plays Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, do they have a good record against Sweden in the past?
I know Sweden are quite good. Like, I think they've beat us a few times. We've beat them. I think it's quite equal.
Yeah.
I could be completely
you
wrong.
You literally just said that as like a safe bet. I told you I was going to ask you random stuff. You could just say you don't know.
No,
but
I
instead you're like, you know, they've won one. We've somewhat won some.
It's good, been like a few
good
draws.
Yeah, good. Some draws there, you know, some intensity. Some of them were friendlies, you know, like big matches. Yeah, that's just the very like canned answer.
Keeping it all safe.
Yeah.
Keeping it all safe. No, I definitely can remember them beating us, but I'm sure that we've beat them because, you know, lionesses.
Yeah.
We can beat anyone on the day. I feel good about that. I think it's like when, you know, not trying to go and talk about Liverpool all the time because I usually do, but it's like when we lost the Premier League and then everyone was like, oh, you've got to win the Champions League. And everyone was like, but is it the same?
Which time that you lost the Premier League?
Oh, Heath. Have you got an English team you support?
I mean, not really anymore.
So just
no, I do Arsenal.
Yeah, okay, so don't talk to me. Arsenal are rubbish right now.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, but, you know. Anyway.
Invincibles, all that stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, six times, baby. Yeah. Let's talk about six, baby. Anyway.
Are you going to rewrite all the songs of, like, we won it five times, we won it five times
I might do,
in
yeah.
Istanbul?
But I'm not going to make any money from it.
Yeah, you should rewrite all those because it doesn't really make sense with six. Just changes the whole dynamic of most of the songs.
Six baby though, when Jurgen Klopp said that in his interview, I was like, he's brought it back.
Yeah.
I'm sure in Liverpool that was going off in the clubs that night.
Yeah.
It's definitely getting a few spins.
Yeah, how great is he?
That guy's waking up the next day with his royalty check being like, I've got a hit again 20 years later. But yeah, how do you feel about Sweden, England? Do you reckon we're going to win?
I haven't really been impressed with Sweden the entire tournament. There's a lot of teams that, and maybe I had false expectations of like Sweden and Germany and all these other sort of like favorites, but I haven't been super impressed. Now, they were good against Holland and it was like a tragic ending, but they weren't good against the US.
Germany, I saw that game in the airport. I watched a bit of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge win, right? To knock Germany out, but like, I think they're vulnerable is what I'm saying. I don't think they're as good as they could have been. And England are a tough team to beat. Like, England were a penalty or a single moment away from beating the US.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like the US played them off the park, off the pitch, out of the park.
I'm still thinking about that penalty.
Well, that was the thing about Nicole Holiday, who had said that, because I was like, can you still measure this as like as a success? Like, obviously it's not a failure, but is it a disappointment? And, you know, like she said, is that like, it's of course, it's fresh on everyone's mind, so it's going to be disappointing. But in the long run, it'll seem like a success and a step forward, which I think is a good perspective to have, because though they didn't win the tournament, they've sort of, and not to be so cliche and make it this emotional thing, but they've inspired a lot of people, right? And they've now continued to, as they continue to have more success in this tournament, as they did, we started to see a lot more things coming out about women's football in the UK, about sponsors, about all the things that are going to help actually drive it forward,
exactly.
Not just on the backs of the girls.
Yeah, exactly. And like I was saying before, you know, I think that final game was like 11 million people tuned in to watch it. And overall... 11.1. Thanks. But overall, there was like, I think, 2 million watching online, and it was the most watched thing like all year, I think, or something. So that in itself, you know, they should be, I'm so proud of them to have followed the journey. Obviously a little bit gutted, but, you know, hopefully they can win third place.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Tatiana, who's one of Copa90's hosts and creators. She's from Australia. She's doing the FIFA Daily Show. That's going on to FIFA's YouTube and different social media platforms. She was saying that she's part of a group that was like consulting she didn't explain that much in that much detail for Australia, and that they passed a thing that if you were a child and you have an ID card, you got the month of football for free. So the whole World Cup was for free based on like, if you had like your school ID or whatever it was, got you a free subscription to the World Cup for a month. So like all kids in Australia had direct access through their phones to...
That's amazing. That is so cool. Yeah. That's like smart. I've ever thought of that.
Yeah. But it's just like a really cool... It's again, like, it's all going to be judged on this giant wave of like, was it successful? And you're ultimately going to see some falling out, and you're going to see some people backing out because it was like a hot commodity for a month. But ultimately, as long as the perspective is like kept clear that like, this is step by step, and it's not like, you know, and I was caught up in it as well. Just like, the game will never be the same after this tournament, and it won't be, but it does have a long ways to go, and it is progress that you have to be focusing on, and not just that this giant boom. And then we're going to look back and say, 2019 was the year that it all changed, you know, instead of saying like, no, from like 2015 or 1999 to 2030, like, this is where it all changed the game forever for the future generations, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's also, you know, anytime there's an international tournament, it does feel like everyone, because, you know, no matter what club you support, we're all gunning for the same thing. Whereas like, obviously they go back to the clubs now, and it's about, you know, really supporting your teams there as well. And I was going to ask you this question. Do you think... So say, I don't know, you really like Nikita Paris, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're a Liverpool fan. So like, for me, I'm a Liverpool fan. But if I really liked it as a player and then she went to play for Man City, do you think I can support Man City in the women's game, but still Liverpool in the men's? Is that allowed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what they're like. So Copa90's done like a few years of research on the modern fan. And that's what the modern fan is saying, right? So like, people are like, well, I'm a Spurs fan, but I can't help but like Hector Bellerin because he's so cool and he's pushing narrative and he's using his voice and his platform to make change. And prior to that, like, people, there would be these barriers of like, yeah, but then you're not a Spurs fan, you know? Why would you like this guy and he plays for your enemy club? And there's like this tribalism that now the modern fan is much more complex, where it's like, well, I want to follow Hector Bellerin, so I want him to do well. Doesn't mean I have to like support. And that's obviously different because it's the men's side, but like, the fact that you couldn't support Man City, you know, women's or Arsenal women's and be a West Ham fan, like, you know what I mean? Like, you could.
Yeah, for sure.
Why not?
I didn't really have a team. Obviously, I support Liverpool, but I was just thinking, like, when I was watching this World Cup, even, I was like, I really like a lot of the City players, obviously, but that would be like, I might as well lock myself up and take myself to jail.
You know,
because
what,
if I said that in Liverpool, oh yeah, City, we love them.
You know what though? There's a team that's not there that you could support, and I believe they're current champions of the Women's League. I think they're
What, Arsenal?
Arsenal.
Arsenal.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean,
have you heard of Viv Miedema?
I have.
I've never mentioned her on this show.
I have.
Streaks. I've mentioned her every single day
on
this show.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She's so sweet. I actually done a show for Copper with her.
That's right. We were both out there that day.
Yeah.
I've told that story so many times that we were out at their apartment just like casually hanging out and doing.
And then
I
got to drive around in a car for like 20 minutes and everyone was like, she's a bit shy, you know, maybe she'll, by the end of it, she was singing Frozen from the top of her voice in that car. She was loving it. I messaged her actually after the game against, was it Cameroon? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you killed it. Obviously she scored a few goals there. And she replied, she was like, thanks so much. And I was like, good luck for the rest of it, unless it's against England, obviously. But she's so good to watch, isn't she, right? Like the way she plays football is just beautiful.
Yeah. But you can support Arsenal is what I'm saying. See, now you've got a connection point, a player that you like.
And
they're
Jordan
champions.
Knox, she's
they're
a friend win. Too now.
Yeah. They've got a lot of girls from that England team are Arsenal players.
I'll come back to
just
you.
Give it some thought. Okay. We'll come back to it tomorrow.
Okay.
And then when it's a video and audio podcast, I'll ask you in front of the
world. I'll wear the jersey, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it, huh? That's all the time we have for.
Oh, no? Okay.
Yeah, flew by. We sweat out a few kilos or pounds, right? You guys
pounds.
Use pounds? Yeah, you don't use kilos.
It's pounds, a broken pounds.
System. But that's it. But we will be back tomorrow for another episode of Football Inside Out. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen to your podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you've enjoyed it, please leave us a review and subscribe to the newsletter. Head to copa90.com/WC19 and click or tap on Copa 90 France Daily to sign up. And get in touch because we'd love to hear from you. Football Inside Out at copa90.com and use the hashtag copa90insideout. And we will see you all tomorrow. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you.
This is a We Are Great production for copa90.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.